So this morning we're beginning a new series. We concluded last week with Gary Davison, a friend of ours all the way from Oklahoma, but he's been here for 37 years, so you can say he's almost Irish, probably more Irish than the Irish themselves. And at the conclusion that we're getting a lot of feedback on it, people baptized in the Holy Spirit, people just encouraged back into that intimacy with God again. Some of our young people who were never baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it's just so encouraging both here and in Dublin. And this morning, as we begin this new series, ourselves and Dublin, we're doing the exact series. So right now, Sean is up doing the same message. Now, if anyone has been around the long time, you can't really do the same message, but you can do the same outline. That's about it, because we're all come from different spaces, but there's certainly the same outline that we as a church are going in the same direction. And we have this sense, all of us, our leadership team, myself and Sean, that God is on the move in Ireland. We have this sense that as we look at church history, and I know there was something happening back in the 1800s in Northern Ireland, but it's all the way back to Patrick since we've had what we call a revival in Southern Ireland. And we believe and have this sense that God is beginning to move in our nation like never before. We have this sense that what we have is way too small. I come from a church background where I went to church in a town of 8,000 people where 5,000, 6,000 went to church on that Sunday morning. A 1,500-seater packed out five, six, seven times between Saturday night and Sunday. That's the background I came from. And we say, why not in our lifetime? Why not have thousands of churches and churches of thousands? And the only thing that will stop that is us. God is on the move. God is bringing people from the four corners of the earth to come and help us to evangelize and make disciples. And in order to do that, we're starting this series. And the series is all about what do people believe and why, right? You could call it the pillars of our faith. And we're beginning this morning on the Word of God. You know, sometimes God gives you a picture, God gives you a vision, and what he's been speaking to us is like, we're like a ship on the high seas. And there's times on the high seas when the water is quite flat and you don't move a lot, right? And you put up your sails and there's some movement, but God is saying he's bringing the wind of the Spirit and it's going to move and move and move, and we're going to build speed. And we're going to build speed and speed within the kingdom of God, and we have to be ready. We have to have everything boarded down. We have to have our anchors ready. We have to have the sails pitched high and tense for that. So at the Word of God, let's begin with our scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses us to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. That's the new NIV. I know the old NIV one. All scriptures God breathed is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God and the woman of God, dare we say, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The message puts it this way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the task that God has for us. So Lord, open up your word. Reveal your word today. Lord, I pray for many of us have heard it, but that the light would come on, that the penny would drop, that we would have what we know as biblical revelation of your word and who you are in Jesus' name. So the word of God is inspired. It's God's breath. His ruach that is within us. And what does it do? It's to teach us, to correct us, to equip us to do every good work. To shape us into the man and woman that God has called us to be, to carry out his purpose in our lives. And I know that education is so important. And what I would encourage our students, you know, me, for some it might be a bit late, so all I can tell you is cram, cram, cram. If you haven't studied, get up at 4 a.m, 3 a.m, prepare and do the best you possibly can. Education is important and also is biblical education. As much as you look at your material and look at your exams, if you get this into you, this will help you to grow up. This will give you wisdom. This will give you purpose. This will give you direction. This will put an anchor in your life you will be built on the cornerstone whose name is Jesus, the Word himself. This will bring stability into your life. Can you hear that? This will bring stability. I'm a professional counselor. I've studied psychology, but this is the best psychology in the entire world. If you get this into you, you will be stable. Can you hear me? You will be stable. If you do not have this in you, you will be unstable. That's just the way it is. It's like sowing and reaping. If Morris is a farmer among us, he's out sowing. If he doesn't sow and he looks to his field, what's going to grow? Weeds. That's the only thing he'll have. Good old Irish weeds, right? But if he sows a crop and he looks out into the field in a couple of months' time, what'll happen is he will have a crop. If you put the word of God into you, it will sow good seed in your life and you will reap a harvest. You've got to get the word of God into your heart. John 1:1-2 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The ultimate purpose of the Bible, I've said this for over 20 years, 24 years since we started, is the redemption of mankind. The purpose of the Bible is about the redemption of mankind. From Genesis to Revelation, it's about the redemption of mankind. There's only one Redeemer, and his name is Jesus. So the Word of God is about Jesus, who is the Word, who became flesh. It's all about Jesus, everything. Are there other great things in there? Yes, there are. But never lose sight of the eternal purpose and the central purpose of the Word of God, which is the redemption of mankind. And there's only one Redeemer, and his name is Jesus. So we want to share with you this morning four truths concerning the Word of God. Number one, the Word of God is absolute. Absolute. The definition of absolute, complete, perfect, free from limitations or expectations, and the ultimate basis of reality. We as Christians believe that the Bible is truth. Some people come along and say, well, the truth is wherever you are. The truth is wherever you're looking. The truth is wherever you want to be. No, this is the truth. Some people say you can't know the truth. Yes, you can know the truth. We have the truth. It is the Word of God. It is in the Word of God, and his name is Jesus. I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is the truth. We can know the truth. And when you know the truth, what does the Bible say? It will set you free. It will set you free. That's what the Word of God does. It sets you free. So we believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. Biblical inerrancy is the belief that the Bible is without error or fault in all of its teachings, or at least that Scripture in its original manuscript does not affirm anything that is contrary to fact. Anything that is contrary. It is the truth. It is inerrant. The Bible is the truth and can be relied on, trusted, and believed in. Psalm 12:6 says, the word of the law, the Lord, are flawless. Psalm 119, your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm. Proverbs 30, every word of God is flawless. Flawless. So can you rely on it? Yes, you can. You really can. Number two, the Word of God is authentic. It's the authentic Word of God inspired by God. The Bible is not one book, but a collection of 66 books comprising of Old and New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Bible is written through prophets, kings, and judges. The New Testament is written through the disciples and followers of Jesus. It is written by men under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and is consistent throughout all 66 books with itself in the revelation of God to mankind. Can you get that? Inspiration means this, that the Holy Spirit of God superintended the human writers in the production of Scripture, so what they wrote was precisely what God wanted them to write. So it wasn't written through man and woman's hand. Yes, it was. But it was under the inspiration and the superintendent of the Spirit of God. That's the reality of the Word of God. 2 Peter 1:21 tells us, for prophecy never had this origin in human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is written by men under the influence and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Even though these men are long gone, are gone, the word remains living and active and breathing. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It judges it. You can come along and you can think, I'm a wonderful Christian. I'm a wonderful husband. I'm a great father. And then you start reading the word of God and it's like a mirror. You say, maybe I'm not that good. Maybe I need some adjustments. Maybe I need a little bit more gentleness and humility. You don't have to agree all the time, Elizabeth, with me. Maybe I need, right? I expect to say, oh, no, 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 not at all. No. She's saying amen up here in a good old. Matthew 24:35, right? It says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So it is 100% written by human authors, but it's also 100% inspired by God. And I came across this illustration that says, St. Paul's Cathedral in London was built by Christopher Wren. He was one of the greatest architects of that time. He started building at the age of 43 in 1675, and for 36 years, the cathedral was built under one architect himself. It was completed in 1711. When Christopher Wren was 79 years of age. Imagine. Even though he was the one who built St. Paul's Cathedral, he never actually lay a single stone. There were stonemasons, carpenters, builders, many people involved over a long period of time. But Christopher Wren, as the architect, was the inspiration behind it all. So it is with the Bible. Many different writers, one architect, one inspiration behind it all, God Himself. Are you with me this morning? God Himself. The Word of God is authentic and God-inspired. Number three, the Word of God is accurate. The Scriptures are known as the most consistent, accurate writings ever written, as proven by some of the greatest historians and scholars ever known over the thousands and thousands of years. It's the book of all books. It is the divine library. Priceless and incomparable. The 66 books of the Bible are divided into the Old Testament having 39 books and the New Testament containing 27 books. Both the Old and the New have their own unique emphasis. Each is complete without the other, and each perfectly complements the other. There are approximately 6,600 cross-references between them which support their interconnection and interrelatedness. Its diversity is plainly seen that it was written over a period of 1,600 years by approximately 40 different authors living in different cultures and countries from Egypt to Rome to Babylon. The authors were kings, statesmen, prophets, peasants, fishermen, herdsmen, priests, tradesmen, and prisoners who wrote the Bible in three languages: Hebrew, Aramaic, and Koine Greek. These writings also include every kind of literature, including history, law, poetry, prophecy, biography, songs, letters, parables, and proverbs. And the miracle is that they produced an amazing unified book, each writer contributing certain needed portions that harmonize with, but never contradicting the whole. It's a compilation of 66 books in one unified book. We call it the Word of God. Many have tried to vilify it and destroy it over the last 3,500 years. It has not only been the most loved, but also the most hated book in existence. No book has ever suffered the persistent opposition that the Bible has, along with those who possess it. Untold thousands of Bibles have been burnt, and countless Christians have been executed for possessing a copy of it. Still today, people are being persecuted for possessing the Word of God right across the world. We are blessed to be living in Ireland. We are blessed that we can have a Bible, hold the Bible, declare its truth, and we are not being prosecuted, hung, or jailed for it. It has been rejected, corrupted, and challenged. Its infallibility and authority have been attacked from every single angle. However, through the centuries, the Bible has survived all of these storms and triumphed over them to remain the most significant book in all of history. Remember the best-selling book? If you look at what's the best-selling book, the Bible has been removed from that list because the Bible is always the best-selling book. That's just the reality of it is. But they removed it because they can't have it keep coming up in their figures every single month. So God's miraculous preservation of his word is yet another proof of its inspiration, authenticity, and its accuracy. In fact, it's the Irish who preserved the word of God during the Dark Ages. And this is something we have to be aware of. And I'm not even aware of all of our history. I should be. We should be aware. If you're new to our country, get in and find out about Irish history. Find out about Irish church history, what happened. Because right during the Dark Ages, it was the Christians within Ireland who brought copies of the Bible, who copied them and brought them then throughout the whole known world. We have to be aware that the legacy, and people keep using different terminologies. You know, people use terms like Protestant and Catholic and whatever. None of those terms are in the Bible. None of them are biblical. They're political. They're political. They're not biblical. And for so long, we see Patrick, their fight over him. Was he Church of Ireland? Was he Church of England? Was he Catholic? Was he this? Was he that? He was a Christian, a man of God who came to Ireland in about 435 with the gospel of Jesus Christ, who sold his entire life, who gave up his freedom again to come with the gospel of Christ. And through the Dark Ages, it was the Celtic Church who copied and described it and then went to Derry in particular. All the way up around Derry, went to Columbkill, Iona, Scotland, England, Wales, right across the then known world with the inspired word of God. This is our history. We are a nation of evangelists and missionaries. That is our foundation. That's where we come from. And that's where God wants to bring us back to again. It really is. And we have this sense that yet again, that Ireland will become an epicenter for evangelism and missionaries, for people from right across the world. Look around you. It's beginning already. It's not an accident that God brought you here, because he brought us here to send us there. Come on. Can you get that? He brought you here to send you there. And he's going to send thousands and hundreds of thousands right throughout the land. And when you look at Irish history, when you look at the monasteries, there were training centers who were sending out 300 missionaries at a time from each of these monasteries. Some of them sent out 3,000 missionaries, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. They're now discovering that St. Brendan was the first in North America, not Columbus, and he went with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as we look at proper history, not just that which is written, we discover that Ireland was the epicenter of missions, of evangelism, who kept the truth, the word of God, and then this is our heritage, guys. This is what we have, and this is what we are going to pass on to this and the next generation. Number four, the word of God is our authority. The Bible is the only authoritative written revelation of God. I believe, and I strongly believe in the area of prophecy and the gifts as in 1 Corinthians. I really do. We try and live it out and speak it out. But everything has to align itself with the word of God. If anyone comes along, has any other opinion, if it's not in line with this, thank you for your opinion. Thank you for sharing. But we probably won't be doing that. It has to align itself with the word of God. This is our authority. Open Arms as a church, this is our authority. No matter what I say, if it's contrary to the word of God, it is wrong. It doesn't matter. I might be called a senior pastor, the eldest pastor, whatever you want to call me. It doesn't matter. I have to align my word with the word of God. This is the ultimate authority. This is what you go by. This is the checks and the balances. It guides us through life. It holds the promises of God and the purposes of man. And we should continue to turn to hear from God and to take direction from him. Ultimately, it's our authority for what we believe and how we live. This is it. What do you believe and what is your behavior? What do you believe here and here, and then the walking and the working out of that? The Bible contains truth beyond all other knowledge. And the more of this book you get into your life, the more life you will have. Can you hear this? The more of this you get into your heart, you get into your mind, the more life you will have. The less of this you get in, the less you will have. I want to encourage you. Get this into you. I really want to encourage you. Some people struggle. They said, PJ, I haven't got a great memory. Hey, I've got one of the worst memories when it comes to it. But this is what I do know. It's when life happens and stuff, the Word of God rises up because it's in me. It's in me. I know where it lives. Look at my Bible. It's in tatters. Why is it in tatters? Because I haven't got a great memory. But I know that it's on a page in the top right-hand corner. I have it underlined and dated. I know where it is. Some of the pages are falling out, and I have to be careful. I have to tape it up, right? Because get this into you. Get this into you. Do you know the dinner that you had this time last year at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? No, but I want to tell you, it fed you, it nourished you, it kept you going. The fact that you don't remember, it's there. It has an effect. The Word of God has an effect. I've been working with someone recently, and they're going through a hard time and struggles, but they said, I don't know what has happened, but I'm beginning to read the Word of God every day, every day, every day, and something has shifted, something has changed. I can't tell you there was a revelation. I can't tell you something, but because I got it in, it has washed and renewed my mind gradually, gradually, gradually. Don't get in and try and read it all in one day, but go through a Bible plan. Read the Bible in a year. Go online, get an app. Nicky Gumbel, I love it. The Red Bible. If you're driving and you're busy, many people in our church at the moment, you're in your car 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, driving to work. Put the Word of God on. Get it on. Bluetooth it. Put it on your phone, whatever it takes, and interact and change with it. Get the Bible CD if you don't have a Bluetooth, right? I don't know if the old tapes still work, but somehow or another, get whatever technology is necessary for you to get the Word of God into you. And it does have an effect on your life. It is through the Bible that you will have understanding of things that you cannot obtain anywhere else. It is through this book that you will have insight beyond what academics have, beyond what scientists have, beyond what professors have, right? Beyond what world leaders have. You can get this from the Word of God. It is in this book that you will find everything you will need for life and for godliness, right? 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is inspired by God. It is God's voice in written form. We find incredible hope, power, direction, love, and meaning when we allow the Word of God to speak in us and through us. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Jesus said, material things will not satisfy. There's more. You need the Word of God. Even the best human relationships ultimately don't satisfy because we've got a spiritual vacuum that can only be filled through a relationship with Jesus. Right? Jesus said it only can come and be found from the Word of God. And the primary way in which God communicates is through the Bible. That is the primary way. This is the way. Can we have preaching and prophecy? Yes, you can have all of that. But this is the primary way that you will have a relationship with God. Worship team is going to come back. So also the Bible has been described as God's love letter. When I went with Elizabeth, said that many times before, there was no mobile phones. We had a phone box in the center of Enniscorthy, where I'm from. Elizabeth was at the left as she worked. I would go to the phone box and I would call her. And then we would write letters. We wrote, and we used to call them love letters. We'd be getting off the phone after talking for 2 hours on the phone in the freezing box in the middle of Enniscorthy, pouring down rain, right? And then we would go home and we'd write a letter. And we'd post a letter and you'd be waiting for 3 days or 4 days. And usually the letters kept coming. Sometimes two arrive together because the post is slow. They're love letters. And we still have them in our attic in a suitcase. This is God's love letter to you and me. Folks, let me tell you, this is not a rule book. This was not created to batter people over the head with. This is not to keep you in line. This is not to spoil your fun. This is a love letter. And the ultimate center of the love letter is about a person whose name is Jesus. Can you get that this morning? His name is Jesus. And you can look at the Ten Commandments both ways. Thou shalt not kill, or I will nail you. Or you can say this, because I am God, not me, because I am God, because I love you, because my grace is sufficient, because my hand is on your life, you won't kill. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not. The thou shalt nots are promises. We've over the years, we've been fooled and lied to. People who didn't even know Jesus tried to tell us about what the Word of God was. Imagine someone who doesn't have a relationship with Elizabeth and they're going to interpret her love letters for you. Yeah, you're going to have some job. Well, I can interpret her love letters. I can tell you the heart that's behind it. I can tell you our journey together. I can tell you some of the heartache that were underneath those words and the stories underneath those words. I can tell you about 42 years of marriage and probably 3 or 4 years outside of that. I can tell you the story. When you get to know Jesus, you know the story. You know the cross. You know the sacrifice. You know how God took flesh upon himself and came to earth because he loved you so much. You realize that he went and he took the beatings and the lashes and the skin torn off his back. And you remember the thorns put into his head. And when he cried out to the Father, he said, is there any other way? Yet not my will be done, but yours. It is a love letter from one who loves us, who's crazy about us, who's got a plan and a purpose for our lives, and who's here right now. I want to encourage you, get into the love letter and get the love letter into you. Look at it from a slightly different view. Look at it as if you're reading it from someone who loves you, who's for you, and has got a plan for you. It will change how you read your Bible. It will change how you interpret your Bible. And it will change how you express the Word of God to others. And if you're here this morning and you've never heard this story about Jesus, you may have heard it as a curse. You may have heard it as some kind of a religious freak. But you've never heard the story about Jesus, the Savior of the world, who loves you, who's got a plan for you, who went to the cross for you. He's here right now. And he wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship. He wants to have intimacy. He paid the price. He made a way. And he's here right now. And what I want to do is give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus. You know, there's a load of scriptures that will open your head when you're at the end of this. But you know, my favorite scripture, the way I can understand, is a picture. The final book of the Bible, Revelation. And this is what he says. Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If you hear my voice, if you hear me this morning, if you sense me this morning, if something I've said or something within this atmosphere has given you even a touch of God, he said, if you hear me, if you open the door of your heart and invite me in, I will come in and be with you and you with me. So this morning, do you want to open your heart to Jesus? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an opportunity. And this is how we do it around here in this place. We give people an opportunity to ask you to bow your head, right? I'm going to ask you to raise your hand when I count to three if you want Jesus to be your Savior. Your Savior. And when you put up your hand, I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to do any of those things because it's between you and Jesus. We're not asking you to join this church called Open Arms, although we'd love you to join a life-giving church where you can be taught the Word of God. But you will leave this place with Jesus. He's going to go home with you. He's going to go to work with you. Wherever you are, he will be there. So if you say this morning, Jesus, I want you in my life. When I count to three, just slip up your hand to Jesus and say, Jesus, that's me. Count me in on that prayer. Count me in on this one. One, two, three. Just where you are. Just slip up your hand where you are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else here this morning? Just slip up your hand where you are. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, Lord, I'm so glad that you are the living word. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. And I believe you were raised on the third day. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Take my guilt and shame. Fill me with your purpose. Fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord an applause. Amen.